It's found in Jesus Christ. And Pastor Theo is going to come and tell you all about it. Let's make some noise. And he comes out to pray.
Swim down here, but and it wasn't 1950 something, it was 1988. I know that was still a long time ago. Amen. Amen. Pastor, did you want your phone that's up here?
No, that's good. It's recording you.
Okay, all right. That's all right. Hallelujah. We had like Pastor was saying, a great day today. It was a wonderful day. Having outreach and just seeing what God was doing there in Otara, and seeing people get saved, hanging out with the brothers and sisters, and then going seeing very briefly that is a Buckland Beach or something like that, somewhere very nice, beautiful. You guys live in a beautiful land. Amen. And you do live in a paradise. Hallelujah. And I'm encouraged that Pastor Chris shared all of those things. And it's so true that one decision for Jesus, one decision to say, I'm going to live for God, can really set you on a path of great blessing and favor, not just for you, but for all your family. Amen. And I know I've preached about that. And I want to talk to you about your situation tonight. Every one of us are in some kind of different situation, but we're called to live for God, whatever situation we're in. And I want to begin, and we're going to look at a scripture, just a short verse of scripture. I'm going to read it to you from a translation called the Passion Translation. It's 1 Corinthians 7:24. Right? It's from the Passion, or the TPT translation, if you're using your mobile phone. I hope you might have your Bible here, your actual paper Bible, which is always best, but just in case, you can access it, the TPT version. I'm going to start by sharing with you a story, because there's a story of a young man who grew up in a Christian home, and his parents were Christians. They loved God, but even though he received chance after chance to live for God from his youth, he kept thinking to himself, not now. I'm young. I'm single. I want to experience life and enjoy myself. I'll save living for God when I get married. Well, the time came for him to get married, and not being too serious about his faith, he actually found someone that was just like him. She wasn't too serious about her faith either. And they got married in due course in church. They would occasionally go to church here and there, but it wasn't their priority. And they spent their time working, going here and there on the weekends, visiting family, seeing sights. They were buying nice things for themselves and doing up their home. And the parents of this young husband said to him, "Son, when are you going to take your faith in God seriously?" And the son replied, "Dad, we've got too much going on right now. We'll settle down when we start a family of our own." Time went by, and sure enough, they started their family. They had a little boy, then they had a little girl a few years later. And now there was a lot of running around to do with their children. Things didn't settle down. In fact, their life was busier than ever. And they rarely went to church, and that was usually just for special occasions. And so his parents, who were now elderly, they asked him again, "Son, isn't it time you got serious with God? Your children are growing up, and they won't know the Lord if you don't do something about it now." But the son said, "Dad, we're just too busy with our lives. We really don't have the time." The years went by, and the man was now in his middle years, about, you know, my age, you know, and had become a granddad. And his adult children were now living in de facto relationships That means they were living like they were married, but they weren't actually married. None of them took God seriously. He and his wife, they had so many possessions that they gained over the years. And they were even in the process of making their home better. And God came to him in his thoughts and said, "Isn't it about time you took me seriously?" And the man, hardly flinching, said, "Not today, Lord. I've just got too much going on." In the end, that man never did take God seriously. And here's a man that describes many people who think that there's this perfect situation that they're going to serve God in, and they keep putting it off. They keep putting it off. They keep putting it off, but never actually come to God. Some say, "I'm too young." Some say, "I'm too old." Some say, "I'm too busy." Some say, "I'm too tired." Some say, "I'm single." Some say, "I'm married." Some say, "I have a family. I don't have time for God now." But for all the excuses that are offered, the Bible makes it very clear that whatever your situation, we should be living for God. God should be the priority of our lives, no matter what situation we are in. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. The context of the scripture we're going to read is a time of hardship. The Christian church was actually being persecuted. In other words, they were hunting Christians down and troubling them. They didn't like what they were preaching and believing. And Paul wrote this chapter to help these brothers and sisters in the faith through these difficult days. And he writes to those who are married, he writes to those who are single, and he writes to those who are parents. And our text highlights the priority of serving God no matter what your situation is tonight. And I want to address these three particular situations of life because we're all in one of them. We're either single, or we're married, or we're in a family situation, and God is calling you to serve him in that situation. Yes. 1 Corinthians 7:24, this is from the TPT version. "Brothers and sisters, we must remain in close communion with God no matter what our situation was when we were first called to follow Jesus." I'll read it again. "Brothers and sisters, we must remain in close communion with God no matter what our situation was when we were first called to follow Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I'm asking you that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to believe in you, to trust in you today in this very situation that we are in, that we would not delay trusting you with our lives, receiving your forgiveness, and going on to fulfill your will and your call for our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen.
And so I want to firstly talk to you about being single for God. Generally, when we talk about being single, we tend to think of those who are relatively young and have never married and are looking to marry. But this category of being single also includes those who are single and older and have never married, or those who have married but are now perhaps divorced or separated from their spouse, or perhaps widowed for whatever reason, and so they're on their own. So being single encompasses all age groups and quite a few different situations. You know, as I said earlier, maybe you have a partner, maybe you have even children, but you're not married. In the eyes of the world, they might say, "Well, you've got a partner, you've got a missus, you've got a mister." But listen, in the eyes of God, if you're not married, you're single, right? You might have kids, you're still in the eyes single. And so You want to sort that out. You want to make it clear that you're legitimate, a married couple, or stop living like a married couple if you don't want to be with them the rest of your life. Get it right, work it out, move on, otherwise you're living in sin. Singles are those whose life is largely not dependent on anybody else, right? Singles can come and go as they please, and without any thought or consideration of another human being. They don't have to tell people where they're going or anything else, because it's just them. They call the shots as to what they do with their life. They're single, right? Common with singles is this idea that they're only half a person, right? I don't have someone else in my life, so somehow I'm only half a person. Somehow they're unqualified or unable to do anything for God. Of course, there's that natural drive to find a suitable partner in life. We know God said it's not good for man to be alone, and so that's going to play a factor in looking for another. However, when God said that, he wasn't saying that a single person was incapable of living a life that could please him. We can please God as a single person. Adam was still able to tend the garden that God put him in before Eve was around, right? He was still able to function in relationship with God and please him. The truth was, the garden was still good without Eve around, and I get it, it went up to very good when she was around, right? Hallelujah, that's true. But it was still good when Adam was by himself doing his work in communion with God. And we don't see, while Adam is by himself, Adam rebelling against God in his singleness. In reality, he was probably more focused about his service. Right? It's like, well, I've got the garden to attend to. There's God and the garden, and that's what I'm going to give my life to. And that's what he did. And this is what 1 Corinthians 7 teaches us. But I want you to be, this is verse 32, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. In verse 34, the unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord. So an unmarried man, an unmarried woman, their whole concern ought to be how they're going to please God. As a single man or woman, you enjoy a freedom to be fully focused on serving God. And that's actually an advantage, not a disadvantage. Many singles can be so preoccupied with finding a companion to the extent that they fail to use their freedom to please God. They've got the freedom, they can come and go, but they're so hung up. Oh, I'm not married, I don't have someone in my life, and they feel half a person. It's true also, singles can get so busy using their freedom to serve themselves, right? It's all about me, to serve their own interests. They're not considering about the cares of God. They're just thinking about what pleases me. Back in the day, in the 1950s, as Pastor Chris was saying, it wasn't that back. I was saved as a young single man. I was 15, 16 years old. I started going to the Potter's House. And I could come and go as I desired and be involved in all the things going on in church and in our wider fellowship. You're just like, there's some brethren here from another Potter's House fellowship tonight. Amen. Oh. From Odoo. They had a night off. They said, let's go down to the Pamua church. There's something going on. That's what we used to do when we were young, and something wasn't on. We were getting busy going to other things that were going on for God. I'd join with other singles who could do the same. And our lives revolved around doing God's will. And, you know, in those growing up years, I actually went through a season where I ran into trouble because I got preoccupied with this desire to find a girl. I made poor decisions in those seasons, which I regret, and I wish I could do it again and say, man, I should have just been focused all the way through my singlehood. I got distracted. I took my eyes on caring for the things of God. My wife, before she was my wife, on the other hand, spent her time being full on for God, and she kept her focus all the way through her singlehood. And it was while we were both busy being full on for God that we actually came together. Right? Wouldn't have worked any other way. If I wasn't being full on for God, she wouldn't have considered me. And if she wasn't being full on for God, I wouldn't have been considering her. See, you might not be so serious about living for God and find someone eventually to marry, but they're not going to be full on for God. They'll be just like you. And that won't increase the chances down the road for you to be full on for God. That actually decreases the chances. It'll often reinforce compromise in your life, but if you'll be all in for God, that's the kind of spouse you'll find, and that's the kind of spouse that will be attracted to you. So I want to say to you single people tonight, whatever your age you are, and whatever the case is as to why you happen to be single, let your main care in life right now be about caring for the things of the Lord. Of all the people who should be most available for service to God and for His church, it ought to be you. And yet, sadly, that's not always the case. Right? There was an article a couple of months ago that spoke about it was a tragic situation. There was a bride, they'd literally just been married. This woman had just been married for 1 hour. And the love of her life, who she just married, died from a fatal blood clot. Right? Just 1 hour married and suddenly she's single again. You know, and that's tragic, right? The question is, what is she going to do after that time of mourning? What is she going to do? I'll tell you what she should do. She should be caring for the things of the Lord. That's a very, very difficult situation, but it doesn't change the fact that her care should be, I need to live for God and I need to follow God. Whatever your situation, there was another woman in the scriptures by the name of Anna, and she'd been married for 7 years before her husband died. And she grew to, you know, she became an old lady. She grew all her years, and the Bible tells us what she did with her singleness in Luke chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Jesus to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So here's a woman. She suffered a terrible situation in her life. Just the love of her life died 7 years in. They're just getting started. What did she do with her singleness? She lived for God. And she had this sensitivity to know when the Messiah, the infant Messiah, had passed by. Her heart was for the things of God. She was aware of what God was doing in her day because her care was for God. She dedicated her life to God. She fasted, she prayed, she served. You find her praising God, speaking of God's salvation to others. We don't know whether she remained single on purpose. It's true she was young enough to get married again. Maybe she had the opportunity, but it didn't work out. Who knows? Maybe it didn't come. It didn't matter. What mattered, and what she will have no regrets about, is that she served God with her freedom in her singleness. Now I ask you tonight, if you're single, what are you doing with your singleness? Are you caring for the things of the Lord tonight? Secondly, I want to talk to you about being married for God. We spoke about being single for God, but being married for God. So here's this situation. Remember something. Marriage was created by God to be a blessing to His creation. Life went up several notches when Eve came along. And all the women said,
amen.
And all the men said, amen. Right? She complimented Adam's life, but in her own right, She added something to God's entire creation. She didn't just complete Adam, she completed creation. Yeah. Right? She was the cherry on top of the beautiful world God had made. Right? She was the crowning piece. Think of how women beautify our world and they add love and nurture and compassion to it. Think of the hard work, the sensitivity, the finesse they add to our lives and our world. And I've told my wife many times over, she's colored my world. My life was black and white before she came along. Right? She upped my life. She's blessed my life. God has blessed my life through her. And we've had the privilege of seeing three of our sons marry in God. And in each case, we've seen the Eve factor do wonders for them. Because they said, you know what? We're going to live for God. And as they were living for God, they found a good woman of God. And what we've observed in our sons who've gotten married, the maturity, the confidence, the civility, instead of walking around like some ape man, suddenly they become civilized, right? It's like they start just, wow, there's something nice about them. There's something clean about them. Hallelujah. The focus. There's this added grace to their lives. And the scripture's true in Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and attains favor from the Lord. I've seen that happen in my sons and in many a young man, an older man, who married well, married a good woman of God, and something wonderful happens. Marriage is that one relationship that best reflects the triune nature of God. You know, the triune nature of God is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God revealed in three different persons, if you like. It's a mystery, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think that in marriage, it's not just husband and wife. It's God, husband, and wife, right? There's the triune nature. Right? If you're only doing marriage with just husband and wife, there's something missing, something seriously missing. God's supposed to be in the center of it. And so both, they're equal, the husband and the wife are equal, right? But they're serving one another. They have different roles, but they're supposed to be serving one another. Marriage is supposed to advance our ability to serve God. And yet, many times, marriage has been the reason why people don't serve God. And this isn't new. Jesus used his teaching to tell of a story how God invited many to the privileged table of living for God at his table, an opportunity for relationship with him. And yet, these excuses were offered to God as to why they couldn't come and be with God. And one of them was marriage. In Luke 14, it says here, there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servant to the invited guests saying, come on in, the food's on the table. Then they all began to beg off one after another, making excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of property and I need to look it over. Send my regrets. Another said, I just bought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to check them out. Send my regrets. And yet another said, I just got married and need to get home to my wife. Think about this. God is saying, come. I want you to sit at my table. I want you to live the life that I have for you and receive the blessing and eat from my table. But this man said, I've just gotten married. I don't have time. I'm a married man. I've got to serve my wife. I don't have time to serve you, God. And it's true. Life does become more complex when you get married. There are more things to think about. Our text refers to this in verse 33. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. But this isn't saying that one can't serve God if you're married. It's just highlighting that things get more complicated. There are more things to juggle. Amen, Pastor Chris. It's certainly no excuse, though, not to serve God. Right? We can't say I'm married, I can't serve God. It should never be, it's either God or my spouse. It's supposed to be, it's God for me and my spouse. Amen? That's the ideal, that together we serve the Lord. And let me add here, it should always be, it's God, whether I have the help and support of my spouse or not. Sometimes we won't have a willing husband or a willing wife to want to live for God, but that doesn't excuse you to not serve God. He still must be number one. And when marriage is done right, both husband and wife should be helping one another in serving God and His church. Amen. And Peter and many of the other apostles were married. They lived for God. 1 Corinthians 9:5 says, "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" So here they are. They've got their married partners with them doing the work of God. Aquila and Priscilla, we read about them. They're a wonderful, notable couple in the scriptures together. They're doing a work for God. And marriage should not be an excuse for serving God. It's supposed to be an accelerator, an advancement, putting some turbo in your service. Amen. Let's close with a third thought here, a third situation, families for God. If we thought marriage complicates life, well, watch what happens when marriage turns into family, right? Of course, just like marriage was always intended to bring another dimension of blessing and favor, so too with having a family. But it comes with extra complexities and more numerous considerations. I had four extra considerations. Pastor Chris has five, right? Every child is an extra consideration. It's always humorous watching when a newly married man, gets married. And before he used to just jump in the car and go wherever he wanted. Now he jumps in the car and he's waiting and he's kind of looking out the window. When's she coming out the house? And he starts beeping the horn and then eventually she comes out and then they speed off. And then guess what? Baby number one comes along. And then there's the man. He still gets in the car first and he's waiting. And now he's waiting longer. And the poor wife comes out with bags and baby and all of these things. And then eventually the husband cottons on by number two or three and says, "Man, I better get out of the car and start helping her because now she's got five bags and there's three bags of porta-cot to load in the car." Sometimes there's a last-minute crisis, vomit, poo, all sorts of things, right? And patience. There's this patience that has to grow. The man has to learn patience. These are complications that happen. Now there are bedtimes to consider. How many of you know we ought to put our kids to bed early enough? Amen. Not let them run around until they drop, right? We're supposed to put them to sleep at a decent hour so we can get some peace. And we can have some me time, husband and wife me time. If you don't put them to bed, you don't have the me time. It's funny, for each of my boys, when they were very young infants, my wife would bring the baby in our bed. And that was fine when they were young. But eventually, it was 6 months in, he was like, I'd pick up the baby and go put the baby in the cot and say, "From now on, you will be in your own bed." Right? Why? Because the marriage bed needs to be the marriage bed, not the family bed. Right? And when they would wake up, they would start running into the room and they would jump on and we would play. But we had to put some boundaries. Right? It was very, very important because this isn't in my notes, but the marriage is the nucleus, right? It's you got to keep the marriage strong if you want the family to be strong. And what happens in the family a lot of times is the kids take over everything else. right? You got to keep the marriage strong. Husband and wife are the priority for each other. The kids come after that. The kids will be blessed if husband and wife love one another. Right, not are leaving each other out. Okay, that wasn't in my notes. Sorry. So we move on here. God wanted family, right? It was God's idea, family. God told Adam and Eve from the beginning, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, he said to them, I want you to have lots of kids. Lots of godly kids. Right? Family was supposed to be in fellowship with God, not apart from God. It shouldn't be it's either God or my family. It was also always supposed to be God and my family. Together we serve together, right? When you put your marriage and your family above God, you've actually made an idol out of your family and out of your marriage, and God doesn't want any idols. He says, don't commit idolatry. Don't do that. There are those who say, sorry, I can't be at church because my kids are involved in this sport and that sport. And they go to this class and that class. Or, oh, sorry, Pastor, we can't come to church because we have a family meeting. What about the God meeting? Amen. Amen. God's supposed to be first. Why don't you have your family meeting outside the church worship time?
Amen.
Right? We've got to put God first. And if we don't, we create problems for ourselves. Parents, do you want your kids to love God? Then teach them God comes first through your example. You show them. Don't just tell them and you do something else. Oh yeah, you go to church and I'm staying home and I'm just relaxing. No. I will show you what it means to put God first. You come with me. We loved the years when we were able to take our boys to sport. They all played sport. It was great fun watching them, cheering for them. But one thing we drummed into all of them was that they weren't going to be playing sport on Sundays where it took them out of church. We said we didn't want to put anything in front of worshiping God, and we weren't going to sacrifice our attendance to our normal Sunday services for this, for anything. And we'd tell coaches that so they weren't surprised. Said, we'll join on, but you've got to understand if there's ever any sports Sunday, we're not going to be part of it. Right? Our boys didn't miss out. They didn't grow up being deformed. Right? It was the opposite. They were very, very balanced. Some of you might argue that neither might have known. But you be careful, parents, what path you set your kids on. Are you teaching them that God and His will and His church are priority number one? Or are you teaching them that it's okay to compromise for this and for that? It's okay not to be in church. It's okay not to be involved. It's okay to find your pleasure in the world. No, we need to teach them to find their pleasure in God's house. Doesn't mean they can't enjoy some other pleasures out there, but we're talking about that God and His house ought to be the greatest pleasure for them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train children to live the right way, and when they are old, they will not stray from it. What's the right way? The right way is found in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Right? Jesus told us this. You want to live the right way? This is the right way. Put God first. Bring them to church. Get them involved in the things of God as quickly as possible. I love seeing these young men taking the offerings here, praying like men. Hallelujah. Right? That's how it ought to be. Get them involved from an early age. It gives my wife and I the greatest of pleasures to see our boys saved. They're serving God in His church. They all have relationship with God. And they're all at different levels. They're developing their own convictions. They have to pick what level of service they want to live at. But they love God. And it gives us great pleasure. The Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. So back to our text. It says, brothers and sisters, we must remain in close communion with God, no matter what our situation was when we were first called to follow Jesus. My brothers and sisters, whatever your situation is, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have a family, whether you just have one kid or whether you have 20 kids, right? Your situation ought to be, I'm living for God. God is my greatest care. Commit yourself to make God and His will this first priority in your life, for your marriage, for your family. And don't fool yourself like that man at the beginning who said, later I'll serve God. Oh yeah, when the planets align, I'll serve God. When my situation is perfect, then I will serve God. If you keep putting it off, you'll never serve God. The Bible says today is the day to serve God. Amen? Let's bow our heads. We're going to close in a word of prayer. And I want to give you an opportunity tonight. Whatever your situation is, to live for Jesus Christ. And maybe as I've been preaching, you understand, you know what, I haven't been living for God. I really have. I've been living for me. Maybe you've been living for your family. Maybe you've been living for your partner, a husband, a wife, or maybe someone you're living with. Maybe you've been living for your friends. But you haven't been living for God. Listen, today is the day to say, I'm living for God. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ and serve Him. That's the only way to get to heaven, folks. We're going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. And He's going to judge us based on whether we put our faith in Him and we follow Him. And we live for Him. And tonight, this is serious. You just can't keep saying, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. The only time you have is today. We don't even know if we're going to get to tomorrow. We just assume we do. What you have is now. And I want to call on you, whether you're young, whether you're older, give your life to Jesus Christ, to glorify Him, surrender to Him. He's the one that died on the cross for you. And if you're here this evening and you know, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. He's calling me to Himself. I need to get my heart right with Him. I want to follow Him. I want you to put your hand up tonight. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, but put your hand up tonight. So if you want to serve Jesus, put it up and I'll see it and we'll have someone pray with you this evening before you go. You're not right with God. You want to give your life to Jesus. Today is the day, my friend. Today is the day. Today is the day. You cannot just keep saying, I'm not going to do it. If you want to receive Christ, put your hand up tonight and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Unsaved, backslidden. Maybe you once were living for God and you fell away. Is that you? Do you want to live for God? Brother, you want to do that? Hallelujah. Come down the front. Amen. Anyone else? You know you're not right with God. You want to give your life to Jesus. Come down the front. Just come up. Someone will come and pray with you. You don't know Him, but you want to know Him. Come. Don't be shy. I need someone to come and pray. Just kneel down here. Someone's going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Somebody else, you're not right with Jesus. Come, we need a sister to come and pray. Hallelujah. Anyone else, you know, you're not right with Jesus. You want forgiveness for your sins. Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed His blood to pay for your sins. Don't be ashamed of Him. He wasn't ashamed to go to the cross for you. All you need to do is humble yourself and receive Jesus Christ. Unsaved, backslidden tonight. You want Christ. You want to receive Him as your Savior. Today is the day. Today, not tomorrow. Today is the day to get it right. What are you waiting for? Do you think somehow the situation will be better tomorrow? Today's the day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive Jesus in your heart if that's you. Amen. Anyone else wants to pray? Just come on out. Come on up and come on out. Come and pray. Hallelujah. Don't be shy. Come. Amen. There's people here. There's more people. It's the best thing you will ever do to give your life to Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Anyone else? I need Jesus Christ. Come kneel down here at the front. Kneel down here. Have someone pray. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Anyone else? I'm not right with God, but I want to get my heart right. Hallelujah. 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 God, touch the hearts of your people tonight. Let them be given revelation as they pray of your mercy and your forgiveness this evening. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 There's still people here. I sense it. You haven't surrendered to Christ. And you need to. You need to. We don't have forever. Come on, you put your hand up. You want to pray. You haven't already. You want to receive Christ. You put your hand up. We can pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, I'm going to change the call this morning. I'm going to change the call. Christians here today, I want to say to you, you might be thinking, oh, I don't like my situation. Listen. We're all called to serve God, whatever situation you're in. You're single, you're married, you have a family. That is the best situation to live for God in your life. Be full on for Him. Don't use your situation as a cop out to be slack. Live for God. Amen. You can come and find a place to pray, Christian. If God has been speaking to you, come. You pray tonight. Commit yourself. God, I'm going to be full on for you. I'm going to be all in for you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There's room up the front if you want to pray. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you, God. Hallelujah, la ba ba bo bo sha. We thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Oh, bo bo sha la ba 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 sha. Thank you for your goodness. Touch your people. Let them settle in their hearts to live. Until the very end.
Let's give Jesus our praise tonight. Exciting to see people responding to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want to live for you. Amen. Amen. How many of you gave your life to Jesus tonight? You prayed, you said, Jesus, come into my life. How many of you did that tonight? I know one brother, two, three, four, five. Amen. Six. Hallelujah. Praise God. Very, very exciting. Very, very exciting. I want to pray for you. If you just prayed for the first time tonight, or maybe you recommitted your life, I wonder if everyone else could just stand back a bit and allow these to come. I want to pray for you. And I want our church to pray for you. Because they need our help. Don't be shy. I want you to just come close. Come close. Someone can stand behind them and be a support person. No problem with that. Just come along here. Amen. Come close. Don't make me walk too far. I'm that old. He says I'm that old. Amen. I want to ask the Lord to bless you and help you tonight. You know, the Bible says that when we pray and we ask Jesus to forgive us, He says you're forgiven. Right? Not maybe, forgiven. Right? Not just, you know, maybe He might, maybe. Listen, every sin, all of us are sinners. All of us have lived with guilt and with shame in our lives. All of us have had regrets. And we've lived with just a dark side. And when we come to Christ, that gets washed away.
Amen.
Washed clean. You become brand new.
Yes.
The old heart gets replaced with a new heart. And we can begin to live in the way God wants us to live. Okay? With joy.
Amen.
With peace. Many of you have been struggling with peace in your life, right? There's been fear. You've been worried about too many things. But tonight, that's all going to change because you're going to sense God's presence with you. Okay? He's going to help you, sister. He really is. He's been with you through all the sorrows. All of them. None of them have escaped. He gets our tears. He puts them in a bottle. That's how close He knows us. Right? He's the comforter, and He's going to comfort your heart tonight. He's already begun. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. I want church, if we could just pray. I'm just going to lay hands on each one. We're going to just allow the Holy Ghost to minister to them and bless their lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come here, Father God, we pray for your mighty hand and your soul. He knows what you've gone through. He knows the struggles.
He says, I'm with you. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Others have forsaken you. Others have troubled your life. But He will never leave you or forsake you. Okay? If you can count on anyone, you can count on Jesus.
Amen.
Right? There's going to be peace, and you're going to feel sound, and the torment that was troubling you before, it's going to go. Right? It's going to go. Because Jesus is with you. Okay, let's just pray for us again. God,
young men, what happens is they've got other young men around them and they're running in the wrong direction, right? Today's the day where you say, Jesus, I'm running with you and I'm going to run with the men that live for you, right? Make your pack, you know, your gang, if you like. Your gang needs to be the gang of God, right? This is your spiritual family. And you're going to see God do wonderful things. How old are you?
21.
21. You're a very young man. Not old like me. Amen. You give your youth to God and you'll come to my age and you'll look back and you're going to see, look what the goodness of God, look at what God has done. All right? And other young men, they're going to still be riding their BMX bikes when they're 30, they're 40, they're 50. But you're going to get on with life and you're going to be a man of God. And it begins with decisions like tonight. Same with you, Matthias. Amen. You live for God. I'm speaking from experience. Pastor Chris, same thing. We were 15. We gave our lives to Jesus. We didn't think we're going to be telling and showing other people how to get to heaven and become a reference point like that. But as you live for God, God's will becomes known. And who knows, you might be up one day in a church preaching like we are. But it all begins when you be faithful. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful presence of God. And I'm excited. God's doing something very, very great in our this congregation. And, you know, this presence, you don't just feel that at home. You don't get that at home. You get it when you come to church. And every time you come, He's building something into you for eternity. He's with you tonight. You be with Him all the time. Amen. We're going to give God praise one more time as Pastor comes.